Today's episode is brought to you by Cars.com. With over 2 million vehicles and 50,000 more added every day, Cars.com will match you with the perfect car for you, your budget, your life, your style. And if you're ready to say goodbye to your current car, Cars.com will get you an instant offer to cash it in. Just start by entering your license plate and get matched with a local dealer who will write you the check. So whether you're looking to buy or sell, just go to Cars.com. It's magical.
Welcome back to the Started Five podcast of SB Nation Grizzly Bet Blues. I am the One Piece Shark.
Yeah, and this your guy Trevor, everyone's favorite 3-and-D guy, aka the Corner Man, coming to you live from Dillabrooks Island.
Yep. And we are missing three members. So I don't even know. Is there a two-man drill in basketball, the passing drill up and down the court?
Yeah, there's like pretty much a passing drill up and down the court, trying to work on our chest passes, make sure we're throwing them accurately, you know.
Right. But yeah, maybe we're going to hold them down for the fellas here this week. But we're going to start the show off by basically reviewing the first 10 games. I do not remember everybody else's predictions. I do remember both our predictions. Both of us predicted the Grizzlies go 7-3. Where mine's, I did kind of switch last week when I said they would go 4-0 and they went 3-1. Therefore, they would have been 8-2 in my updated prediction. So you end up being the correct one. Overall, you withstood and stood with your prediction. So how it feels.
Oh, man, it was great. I think, first and foremost, I think it was kind of split between the four of us. I forgot which way Tuke went because Skylar and Sheedy both went.
They said 6-4, I think.
Yeah, Skylar and Sheedy went 6-4. I went 7-3 as well as yourself. I think Tuke may have gone 7-3 as well. So we'll give him his props for until he, you know, fact checks us or whatever. But all in all, this is a great start for the Grizzlies. Where exactly I had them starting out this season, given everything that's transpired with them not having Jaren Jackson Jr., Dylan Brooks missing three games, Ja Morant and Desmond Bain each missing a game apiece this season. For them to be 7-3 after the first 10 games, again, it's right on schedule for everything that they're trying to do. The West right now is looking pretty much wide open, maybe outside of Portland, who's looked okay, and maybe Phoenix. Everyone else is pretty much fair game. Yes, that even includes the current defending NBA champions, the Golden State Warriors, who are struggling right now. So if you're the Grizzlies, like, this is a prime opportunity right now for you to kind of position yourselves in a decent spot in the coming months as things start to pick up heading towards the All-Star break. So for them to be at 7-3, given everything that's transpired, it's a good feeling.
Yeah, good feeling indeed. Of course, they still walked through the recent game that we're recording. Basically, I mean, this episode's coming out. We played a back-to-back, so recording it right after the Wizards game. You can tell they still walked, played down to their opponent, fell down there, nothing. Came back, took a big lead, watched it, came back, went to sleep again, then finished it off. So, they are, you can tell they are getting to that elite status, or they already are elite, and they're already playing like how elite teams would play in certain situations. But their defense has definitely gotten better since the Utah weekend, which if you take a, you know, you take a, just look back at that weekend, they were stuck in Utah for a weekend. Just think about that. You stuck in Salt Lake City. You had to play there Saturday, Monday. You were there for a whole weekend in Utah. And I've heard a lot of players say there's not much to do in Utah, right? So you kind of that was kind of torture, for especially for a young team like them. They didn't get to do it. It's just boredom. Then you have, you know, everybody didn't play. Ja didn't play that. Ja and Jacob Ravion didn't play that Saturday game. And then Monday, Desmond Bain didn't play. And, you know, we got blown out. We finally had a flat game. And Grizz Nation seemed to just put it all over the place. No, coming to last season, we got blown out. I mean, every single game we lost in the first
if I'm not mistaken, were we like, yeah, a losing record at 10 games to start last season? I think we were like 2-8, if I'm not mistaken. It was something of that nature. And for similar reasons, the Grizzlies were giving up a lot of points defensively. So, but like you said, Grizz Nation was all over the place.
Yeah, I don't think that. Just that's 2-8. They were probably close to like 4-6, 5. I know they were.
It was a losing record. It may not have been like 2-8 bad, but I knew it was something along those lines after the first.
Yeah. 10. I know they were 9-10 after the first 19.
That's what it was. They were 9-10. That's what I. That's probably what I was.
The first 10. Yeah, I had to go back and look. I know nine. I remember just the number 9-10. I think this when Jock got hurt. And then everything kind of happened.
You're absolutely right. Yep.
Then they won their run. So, like, man, defense, we expect the defense to start off slow. Of course, slow-mo and De'Anthony Melton's absence was going to affect us to start the season. Jaren Jackson being out and Zaire Williams being out was going to affect it. But I did want to dive in and talk a little bit about Dylan Brooks. I need the other guys here because those are the ones who are against Dylan Brooks. But I'm going to get to Dylan Brooks Allen guy the chance to talk about what DB has done this season.
Oh, man. I know there was a lot of flack heading towards DB, especially with his play in the preseason. But like everything else, I don't put any stock into the preseason. He missed the first three games, if I'm not mistaken. He missed some time this season. He's actually played really, really well. It may not show up on the stat sheet, with probably the exception of maybe a couple of games this season where he's actually shot the ball well. Everything else that he's done is pretty much right along the lines of what you want him to do. And then the shots that he is taking, I would say more often than not, these are good shots. They are within the offense. They're within Florida offense. He's under control. He's not trying to do any. He's not trying to do too much. Like, he's not trying to, dribble around three or four guys just to shoot a mid-range jumper. Like, he's shooting a lot of more catch and shoot threes, which I would want him to. What I want him to do, pretty much. Some are going down. Some are not. But hey, I would much rather have him take those and get and start to build confidence with that than just trying to do everything else. I think he's finally buying into the fact that I don't have to do as much on the offensive end. I just need to be ready to shoot when open. I have the ability to put the ball on the floor if I need to, but I don't have to try and do it every single time. I can just play through Ja and Dez on the outside on the perimeter. My offense will come. Sometimes it'll come if he's knocking his shots down. Sometimes it's not, but at least he knows that he's going to affect the game in ways, some way or somehow, whether it be on the defensive side of the ball or on offense. So I got to give it up for Dylan Brooks. He's had a hell of a week this week. I wish the other guys were here so that I can get their take on it, but it is what it is, man. So shouts out to Dylan Brooks for that.
Yeah, for sure. Just going back to conversation last week, I think Skyler did like the way he played, like leading up to our last podcast, and she did kind of agree as well. So I think not so much coming around to the actual idea of keeping them, but if he continues to play within himself, which is all we all asked of him to do, then hey, there's no purpose in trading him, right?
Yeah, if he continues this, it's going to be hard to make that decision to move him. Again, as long as he plays within himself, keeps taking good shots, eventually those shots will start falling. He'll start shooting better. And, again, we got depth, so this will be another added piece to somebody who can actually come in and maybe not get his own shot or score really well, but not to leave him open. Like, he can keep defenses honest.
Yeah, man. But, another comment I know he made after I forgot which game, but he has said something along the lines of, it's Jai and Bane, Demi, or something along what he was saying. Like, he's coming after those two. We never heard him say that before. he always talked like he was the one D guy before, and so he's definitely changing his tune.
I mean, and it's just him under. I think it's him understanding now. I think especially how he played in the playoffs last season in the Golden State series and how terrible he was. He knows the game is going to come a tad bit easier for him now because, of course, defenses are already focusing on Ja, but now they're going to start focusing just a tad bit more on Desmond Bane as well. And when those two are getting most of the focus on offense, that means there's easy shots for you. There's going to be easy catch and shoot opportunities for you. It's going to be opportunities for 3J when he eventually gets back. It's going to be opportunities for Steven Adams and things of that nature. Like, it's cool that you can put the ball on the floor. It's cool that you can create a shot for yourself. That's a good ability to have. But just because you have the ability don't necessarily mean you need to use it. So that's my only thing with Dylan. It's like you'll get your 10 to 12 shots, and I guarantee you five of those are probably going to be wide open. And at that point, it's just up to you if you make them or not. So I'm glad that he's making this, having this realization. I don't know if it was him coming up with this himself or if it was Ja, Dez, or Taylor Jenkins doing what I said needed to be done prior to the season, which was they got to, whatever Dylan Brooks got going on, they got to reel this in and they got to get this taken care of like as soon as possible. Otherwise, it could cost the Grizzlies. So kudos again to Dylan for that self-realization. And again, just continue to play within yourself, man. Everything else is going to come. I promise you.
Yes, please, please, please continue. That's all we ask for. All right, man. Before we get to the closing segment, I did just double check the what happened last year. The first 10 games, the Grizzlies were 6-4, but they won a 3-game losing streak like immediately after that.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So
this is advertiser content brought to you by Frito-Lay.
Hello, I'm Chip Murphy, here to get you ready for the big tournament. Tonight, we break down who will be cutting. Cut! What are you two doing?
Sorry, Chip. Prez here got his feathers ruffled when I told him Ruffles has zero chance of winning the title.
And I was letting Dip know that she is not taking into account Ruffles' iconic ridges.
Guys, it's March. We have to start talking about the tournament.
We are. It is the 2023 Frito-Lay Snack-It.
We're talking about big-time matchups between Cheetos, Smartfood, Lay's, Sun Chips, and more.
Just head to the Frito-Lay Snack Bracket and vote for your favorite chip, pretzel, or dip for a chance to win up to $1,000 or a year's worth of snacks.
This sounds great. Keep up the good work.
Just go to Frito-LaySnackIt.SBNation.com. No purchase necessary. Sweepstakes ends 4/3/2023. Void where prohibited. Here's worth of snacks awarded in the form of 52 coupons, each good for one bag of chips. See official rules at Frito-LaySnackIt.SBNation.com.
Then was eventually after that 9 and 10. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember pretty much all their losses were blowouts. They either won by 15 to 20 or lost by 15 to 20. It was like barely in between. But coming forward, just looking ahead to our next where this upcoming week, we do have four games. Tonight, when this episode gets released on a Monday, we do play the Boston Celtics in the back-to-back, but the back-to-back is at home. Just play Washington, so we play Boston at the Fed's Forum. Then Wednesday, we head to San Antonio to take on the Spurs. Friday, come back home for an ESPN game against our first-round playoff rivals, the Minnesota Timberwolves. Then we play Washington again, but this time in DC next Sunday. So what would be your record prediction for these upcoming four games?
Given what's transpired in this past game with the Wizards, Ja looked a little hobbled after I guess he took a mean fall and hurt his back. He wasn't the same when he came back in, but he still was able to be effective down the stretch to eventually close the game out against Washington. So I kind of look for them to have a similar game against the Celtics, to where they're probably gonna be in a dogfight. Williams is gonna come down to the wire, and I could probably see Memphis taking an L there, just because it's a back to back, and then you got a couple guys that's probably hobbled a little bit, so we don't know what's gonna be the situation going there. I think they take care of business in San Antonio on Wednesday. San Antonio has a lot going on. Of course, they're a very, very, very good young team, but, you know, they got out to a decent start, but I think they're starting to kind of come back down to reality to a little bit. So I think there's an opportunity there. I think the Grizzlies get a W there. Big game for them back at home on Friday. It's on ESPN against the Timberwolves. Of course, with everything that went on last year in the playoffs, and then with Kyle Anderson, of course, playing his first game back in Memphis as a member of a new team since signing with Minnesota this past offseason. Grizzlies take care of business there, and they'll close out the week with a win in Washington. So I have the Grizzlies going 3-1, pretty much getting the three-game winning streak started after the loss to Boston.
Yeah, we are on one accord, just like we were with the 7-3 10-game start. I'm the same way. I think we lose to Boston. Whatever reason, Boston, and like last season, you just saw it, like, they're just a tough matchup for us. And with it being a back-to-back, and like you said, the Hop job hurting his back, and, you know, they might be resting players tomorrow, and we don't know what's going to happen. So we'll see. But, they're just always a tough matchup for us. So I do see that as being the loss. Then see us winning out, winning San Antonio. Prime time ESPN game Friday night at home. Take care of business against Minnesota, and then the Washington Wizards rematch a week from now. Bradley Beal might be back for that game, but I still believe we should be able to pull it off to go to 3-1 and have another three-game winning streak as we're currently on now.
And the game right after that one, I'm looking forward to. It'll be Memphis and New Orleans.
Ooh-wee.
Taking on the Pelicans, and that is going to be on TNT. That is going to be a good one, ladies and gentlemen. I'm just letting you know that right now.
Yeah, we'll talk more about that one this week. Ooh, yeah.
Man.
Old rivals. It's back now. It's
like one more thing, and I'll throw this in since we talked about this week's games. Let's just hope the Grizz can keep this streak going of keeping teams under 100. I think, to your point, which you mentioned earlier, since the Utah game, I think the Portland game has been the only game where the Grizzlies have given up 100. So back-to-back games, they kept their teams on the 100. Let's hope they can keep that trend going this week upcoming. But I think we still got them at 3-1. So there you go.
Yep. And even that game against Portland, they could have very well held them under 100. They
because they had about 17 at one point.
Yeah.
So that could have been another one. It could have been three straight. So
yeah.
Let's just hope the Grizz can keep this momentum going on the defensive side of the ball.
Right. I'm glad this week they do have like a little mixture of home in a way instead of a four-game road trip like they just came off of, you know, what?
Yeah, the three games on four nights. And yeah.
Yeah, it's good to see. But yeah. Before we get off, I've been putting in the podcast post the last couple of weeks, but we will be bringing back our Q&A segment. So all the people listen to us on Twitter, y'all send our questions to starting five at number five MEM, and starting this week we'll kick that back off. We'll answer your questions and shout you out on the show. But as always, as I just said, you can follow us on Twitter at the starting five number five MEM. Follow Greasy Bear Blues at SBN Grizzlies, and check out the articles at sbngrizzlies.com, and listen to the other podcasts on network GBB Live Podcast, Core Four, Next Gen, and Greasy Bear Bets. Also, you follow me on Twitter at @theone_pshark.
Yeah, and you don't just have to wait on us to tweet out that we have in the Q&A. It says, you got a question and it's in your heart, man, tweet at Starting 5 MEM or tweet us individually. I'm at The Art of Trevor, of course, of is a preposition. So if you know your grammar, don't capitalize it. And there you go.
Ah, man. And it's crazy. We all been recording together so long that I remember everybody else's Twitter handles without actually having to look at it. Follow Skyler at _Skylito. Follow Took at just tell for Shakir. And follow Sheedy at It's Really Sheedy.
But, hashtag the mic.
Yeah, he needed to clock out. It's probably good he out this week. Told him to clock out last month or so.
Yeah, he's on PTO. He's on the administrative PTO administrator.
All right. Oh man. But till next time, everyone, go Grizz.
Go Grizz.